Hi, welcome to The Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Redmond. I'm mixing it up today with this artist interview because I'm not talking with a painter or a teaching artist. Today I'm talking with a ceramic artist, Carla Walter. Carla went to school later in life and received her bachelor's in fine arts, focusing on ceramics. Living in Florida, her environment gave her the idea for what she wanted to make in clay. She decided she was going to make crows. And in Palm Beach County, Florida, she's very much known as the artist who makes crows. But crows aren't her only subject, and we talk about the other birds and animals and fish that she makes. We also talk about her art installations, which are so much more than a single bird, as they create a whole scene that tells a story in the gallery. This is Carla Walter. Hi, Carla. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be talking to you because I've been on a kick with interviewing all these mixed media artists and painters, and now I get to talk to a ceramic artist, so this is very exciting. And we're going to talk about her gallery where she works as well. But first, I want to talk about your art. So when did your art start, and how did you get into the ceramic side of things? I know that's a huge question.
Yeah, that's a big question. Well, at the age of 51 or 2, I was given the opportunity to go to college by my dad, which he gave me that opportunity when I was 17. But I had to fly. I had to leave the house.
Okay. You know?
So he offered it again to me. I was already married, and he offered it to me. So I took him up on it, and I had to start at the very beginning. So I started at Palm Beach State College, and I had to really start core. I mean, I had to start over with everything. So by the time I got done with all my core classes, I finally was able to take something for fun. So I took a ceramic class, and that was basically the start of Victoria Martin was my first teacher. Yeah, and she's a great person. And then the next teacher that I had was Nazaré Feliciano. So I had some really strong women supporting me and what I was doing. And I just fell in love with the medium. And my dad wanted me to go to keep going to college. So he's offered that to me for my BFA or he wanted me to go on to university. We didn't know it was going to be a BFA at the time, but he wanted me to become an accountant.
Ah, that's what I am. Most people don't know that.
He said that's a good job.
That's it. Yeah. Good, stable job.
Yeah. But I had no interest whatsoever in becoming an accountant.
Okay.
I mean, I don't care about numbers. You know, I don't even do my checkbook. You know, I'm terrible with that. So I did take a class in, now I can't think of the name of the program, where you put all the numbers in.
Oh, Excel?
Excel, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I took an Excel course, and I really enjoyed it. But I took one clay class, and that was it. I said, okay, I'm going for my bachelor's in ceramics. That's what I decided to do. So I went on to FAU.
Oh, okay. So you had to go to a different school to get the actual BFA?
Yes. I only got just a regular degree at, I can't remember what it's called. Sorry, the memory is bad. But so I graduated from Palm Beach State College and went out for my BFA.
Okay. All right. And so you got your BFA. And during that time, while you were still getting the degree, did you start to make pieces that you were showing in galleries?
No.
No.
It took some time. The first time I ever showed, I did show at Palm Beach State College in the student show.
Okay.
I had a couple pieces. I actually got an award there for some piece that I made. But, no, I basically had to throw everything that I learned in Palm Beach State College ceramic course out the window because I had an amazing professor, Angela DeCosola, who really changed my way of thinking. I had no concept, you know. I had lots of dreams and thoughts, but I didn't have a concept. I didn't have a why.
Okay.
And so I needed to have a why I wanted to make this certain piece. What was my connection with whatever I was making? So I had a big lesson in why I was making art.
How did you get that? What types of things did you do to try to figure out your why?
Well, she would have particular projects that she would say, okay, you need to do this, that, or, you know, okay, it has to be figurative, or it has to have an element that is not figurative. Or, you know, I'm just making this up as I'm going along.
Right.
As far as the projects she gave us, self-portrait, we had to do a self-portrait, and that woke me up to kind of my life of where I was at that moment. So, I have two self-portraits, and they're in the library at Palm Beach State College. I kind of donated them there because I just didn't have room for them. They're completely different though. It was a growth period that I went through.
Oh, well, that's nice.
The self-portrait even, had the shoulders and the bust, part of the bust were ledges, like stairs, like stepping up.
Oh, okay.
And then I used, I took a ball of clay and put it in your palm, and you just put your thumb in it, and it creates a thumbprint.
Okay.
And so these were like little kind of shapes. Mm-hmm. So I actually made the head out of that. So that were all the people. It was like, I was talking about the people that touched me in my life. So, you know, it was really abstract. And then I made another one that was really, really abstract. It had more to do with my professor, who was this voice in my head telling me to do more, you know, and it was like this annoying voice in my head.
Oh.
So she was a great professor. She's a great professor. She's still a friend. She came to the opening the other, last week.
Oh, very nice.
So I have two professors that have really influenced me. Carol Pusa was also one of them.
Okay.
Do you know Carol Pusa?
I know the name. I don't know if I've met her before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you found your why. What was your why at that time?
Why I wanted to do I just fell in love with the material.
The material.
And
okay.
The material. And and it didn't matter to me about what was going to happen afterwards. All I knew is that I was going to go for my BFA and my medium was going to be clay.
Okay.
And I had to take other classes. I took drawing. I took, 3D design, and I took a lot of drawing classes, and I just kept immersing myself in art classes and really communicating a lot with professors.
Okay.
So I grew a lot there. Even at the age of 50, whatever it was, 51 or 2.
Right.
I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about going to college and a real college.
Yeah.
Palm Beach State College was just a baby step.
Okay.
So any students that even come into the gallery and talk about them going on to FAU, I go, okay, you have to put your big pants on now because it's easy there. They make it easy for you.
Oh, okay. All right.
I thought it was hard while I was there, but then when I went to FAU, I was like, this is a whole new ballgame.
Yeah.
I had to think conceptually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to come up with that why.
Right, right.
But I learned that with everything I do now, I usually have a why. Whether it just be an experience like the new piece, the sardine piece.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about
sardines?
Sure. that was one of my questions I was going to ask you. So first of all, what is the location of the, or what is the name of the gallery where the sardines piece is?
Oh, it's at the Cultural Council right now.
Okay. So the Cultural Council in Palm Beach County. And so you're known for making crows, and we'll talk about your crows. But then all of a sudden, I see you posting pictures on Facebook that you're making sardines. So, yes, that's my question. Where did the sardines come from?
Well, I went to Portugal. Nazaré Feliciano organized a trip with friends and students that were taking classes at Palm Beach State College. And my roommate was Jackie Shepherd, who worked across the hall in an office. She had an office position. And so there was about 12 of us. And so, you know, Portugal's known for their sardines.
Ah, okay. This was a couple years ago, right? Or had you gone back?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember when you went. Yeah, because you went to a tile factory, I think.
Yes.
And
you
did. I remember you telling me about that, how they hand paint the tiles and the beautiful blues. Yeah.
Azulejo tiles. That's the course that we took, was learning how to paint azulejo tiles. And so that was the actual class. So we were in class. We stayed at a college, very small place that was an art college, and there was dorm rooms there. And so we stayed there. And we ate there, breakfast, lunch, and then dinner probably, you know, then we would go out and about town. So, and sardines are a national, you know, they're the food there, sardines.
Right. So. Okay. And so the show at the Cultural Council, the theme is something about food. What is the name?
Play with your food.
Oh, playing with your food. Okay.
Play with your food. Yeah.
Would you describe your, piece with the sardines as a sculpture, or would that be considered an installation?
Yeah, it could be called an installation.
Yeah. Can you describe what it is? Because I think it starts on a table but goes up the wall.
Right, right. So they kind of start off as dinner or a plate of sardines. And I used rock salt to portray maybe they're just fresh sardines.
Okay.
So fresh sardines, and then they escape to the wall to become a school of fish. That was how I pictured it. But Nicole took, you know, made it more playful, because it was called playful, play with your food.
Okay.
And so she made it a little more playful. Maybe I was being a little too literal, but not really. I mean, sardines, they don't jump from the plate to the wall.
Right.
But I had them, you know, so she made it really more playful than how I imagined it. And I was very happy with how she did it. She had fun with it.
So. Yeah, yeah. So that's Nicole Hickey. Is her title curator at the Cultural Council? I'll have to look that up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I don't know. She may have more of a title.
That's what I'm thinking.
Some title, than curator. Yeah, more grand. As it should be, because she's a great curator and she has a great vision.
Yeah.
And she really likes to invite artists to be in a place, you know, to be in her, like, it depends upon what she's having.
Right, right. So what you're saying is that you gave her the piece and you said it's arranged like this, but she's the one who actually arranged it and hung it on the wall?
She installed it, yes.
She installed it?
Yes. Okay. I brought the table, I brought the plate, I brought the sardines, the rock salt, and I showed her pictures of how – I actually did a drawing, and I did – I took photographs of it on the floor as how I saw it.
Okay.
So I have a – you know, my new white – porcelain floor was a perfect backdrop, and I got up on a chair and I kind of said, okay, I see it like this.
Okay.
And, but you know, she did what she wanted to do, and she asked me in the process, is this okay? And I, yes, everything is fine.
I got it.
What she wanted to do. It was great.
Okay. Yeah. Now for this show, she actually invited you to be in it, correct? You didn't have to apply.
She, asked me if I knew artists that made food-related art.
Oh, okay, because she knows you as the curator at the college gallery. Okay.
So I did know. I thought that I knew a couple people. What did I recommend? And I already had that idea for the sardines for a while. It was kind of on the back burner of my mind. I wanted to make sardines, but I knew I had to make a mold, and then that is quite a process to make a mold. I hadn't made a mold in since I was at Palm Beach State College. No, I made a mold while I was at FAU. I made several molds, and I did I was hired to make several molds by Carol Pusa. And so it had been a while, and, but anyway, when she came, you know, said, do you know anybody? I says, well, I think I know of a few people. And then I suggested a few people. And then I said, hey, and I have an idea.
Okay. So you had this idea for a while, maybe since you went to Portugal.
Yes.
You hadn't found the reason to do it just yet, or the place where it would go. Okay. And when you did when you did the mold, is it a two-part mold?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a two-part mold.
So do they... they're fired as two pieces and then you put them together later, or no?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, it's not a two-part mold. It's a slip cast mold. So it's two pieces.
I gotcha.
That go together, and then you pour it. But actually, I made it.
Oh, you pour it. Okay.
You pour it. It's a slip cast mold. So it's not a press mold. A press mold is you put the clay in on either side, and then you kind of wet the edges and push it together. That's how I make my crows. I use a press mold.
Okay.
I've used the same press mold for probably, well, since 2011 when I had the crow show for the first time at the college. That's when I made, I had lots of crows there. And so that was the start of the crow movement.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've used that at least 60 times or more.
Oh, wow.
That press mold, that one press mold. It's just a basic shape of a crow.
Right, right. Because I know some of your crows, well, all of your crows have such a different texture to them on the outside. Some of them are...
It changes.
Right.
Yeah, it keeps changing.
Yeah.
It has to, because I can't keep it the same because I'm bored with it.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about the crows now.
Okay.
What made you come up with creating a crow?
Well, Nazare Feliciano and I talked about doing a show together at Palm Beach State College. There was a, you know, space open that we could arrange. And so I needed to come up with an idea. And I walked through the park every day with, well, I didn't have Ripley then, but I, with my dog or dogs. And when the wind seasons change, the birds change. So there were vultures and crows every day. So every day on my walk, there would be this crow at the end by the water on a big telephone pole or on a big pole, and he would be like cawing. And so I'd be like, oh, this crow, what is he talking about? So this experience was going on for a while, and then this show came on PBS called A Murder of Crows.
Okay.
And it was about the intelligence of the crows. And it's on NPR or PBS. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating to me how intelligent they were. I didn't know that much about crows. I just knew I was communicating with crows, and I was seeing vultures and crows and winter birds. And I mean, I walk there every single day. I see nature every day. I see something that's interesting. And so it just clicked when I saw that show that this is what you should make your body of work about. Why don't you make a crow? Also, I had, through Etsy, I had some work years ago, and I had made a little bluebird teapot, and it's sold really quickly. And it was in, it was a little bluebird teapot. So a woman reached out to me from Canada, would I make her a crow teapot in a nest, something like that. And so that was the other thing.
Okay.
So so then I said, okay, I've got this opportunity to make something that I could sell. I'm inspired by nature and the birds that I see every single day. I saw this show, so something's telling me to make crows.
All right. I love that. Yeah.
Yes. So that's what happened.
Right. So you got your why of actually what to make from so many points in your life. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible. Okay. Yeah. So you've said you've made crows. Was it 60 you were talking about?
I'm numbering them. I number. I keep
Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
In the beginning I started, but then I kind of lost track. But right now I'm on like 67. I just kind of write it on a calendar and make a note, because I like a number on the bottom of them, because early on I didn't really number them because I didn't know they would sell. So now that they're in some galleries, I like to at least keep a record of maybe what number they are. I usually take photographs with the number next to it. I've kind of been slacking off on that a little bit, but I try to keep a good record of where they are and who has them and what number they have.
I like that. Yeah. You're also giving them some very interesting names. I saw the names on your website. You have one with a pearl, and I don't remember what the names were. I love that you've actually titled them as well.
Yeah. I love the one with the pearl, but I showed that first with the pearl necklace at the Cultural Council.
Ah, okay.
And so I called it the crow with the pearl necklace. based on the show, The Girl with the Pearl Earring, right. Or the movie. Yes. Yeah. Or the book. The book is fabulous.
Yeah. And it's based on the, I think it's Vermeer, the painting.
Vermeer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Your crows, sometimes it's a singular crow, but sometimes it's a whole installation. And some of the crows are in flight. Some of them are standing. When is the first time that you did an installation?
It was when I did the show with Nazaree Feliciano in 2011. Since it was just her and I, actually we did invite another artist to come in. We needed another artist, on the wall. And, I had the floor.
Okay.
So I knew I had the floor and I, wanted to do a murder of crows. So that's three or more.
Okay.
A murder is three or more. So I did five flying crows. And
okay.
And then I did five or six that were on a wall. Did I call that murder of crows? I think I called that murder of crows. I can't remember.
Okay.
and I made a nest. I don't know if you remember seeing the nest ever.
Well, I've seen the nest.
You
had a nest at Continuum.
Yes.
On the mannequin. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes. That's correct. The first time I showed that had the nest was at the opening of that show at Palm Beach State College.
Okay.
But I showed it on a pedestal. So.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I just put it on a pedestal and, so the, it was kind of the same idea. The crows were flying towards the nest. And I've used that in different ways several times. I showed it when Rolando was having his art walks. I think I had it there. I don't know. It's been around.
Yes.
So right now, where is it? Oh, it's sitting on top of my kiln. It's just, it kind of just comes up every now and then that I can use it again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So you just mentioned your kiln. Is your studio in your home or do you have a separate location for your studio?
The studio, is part of my garage. It was an addition that my husband and I did. We went out the front and this time we went out the back.
Okay.
So, it's a one car garage. I used to be able to put my car in there, but not anymore. And I guess that's what happens with garages.
Yeah, of course.
But, it's a little space off to the side that where I have my kiln is actually in the garage part away from where I work.
Okay.
We have a solar fan that we can turn on. I only fire it at night. I like to be there and it gets really hot. So at night it's cooler, but we have an exhaust, solar powered exhaust fan as well that pulls that hot air out of there.
Oh, okay. All right. And I'll just mention here that you do live in Florida. And so that's why we're talking about it being so hot working in a garage. Yeah.
Well, I'm not in the garage.
Oh, okay.
It's a separate place where I actually have a nice barn door. I close it off. I have a wall mounted air conditioner.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's really nice and cool. It's not large. It's, it's the size of a small, almost like the size of this room here.
Right.
Not very big.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's enough for me to, the kiln is separate.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Because does the kiln generate a lot of heat on the outside of it?
2000 degrees sometimes.
On the outside?
Yes.
So on the area around it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. You keep that away from where you're going to sit there and do your work. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. You can't be in the same room. You can't even be in the garage, really.
Oh, okay.
That's why we have the fans pulling the heat out of there. I fire it at night because it draws on the power. You can, when it's going up in temperature, you can kind of feel the power go,
Yeah. Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit and... Well, no, you know what? I want to talk about the rabbits too, because you've done some hares. How did it come about that you switched gears and made rabbits instead of crows?
Well, I have an artist that I really admire. Her name is Beth Kavanaugh Strichter.
Okay.
And I saw her at the National Clay Convention do a demo. You have two artists that do demos and they talk to each other. It's really a great thing to go to. It's the, it's called the NCECA, National Ceramic. It's for arts and education for ceramic artists.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a convention, and like painters don't have this, but we have it, ceramics. And usually it's in a city. I wish West Palm Beach would do it, because all these ceramic artists from all over the world and the United States converge onto one city, into one city. There's got to be a convention center mm-hmm. where there's continuous workshops. And there's different things you can go, and there's tools you can buy. There's a whole place where you can just go buy all the tools. You can buy
kiln. How fun.
And it's a big community of artists sharing their work.
Oh, that's
great. What I love about ceramics is that's what ceramic people do.
Yeah.
People who work in clay are very generous with teaching and sharing their methods. You know, it's painters to me. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, but they're a little bit snobbish.
Okay.
They tend to want to keep it a secret.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a painting convention.
Yeah.
But you know, it's very, I think when you're a painter, I'm very intimate with what I'm doing. But anyway, it's a community. They come from all over the world. So it happens every year, and a city hosts it.
Okay.
So I haven't been in a while, but I forgot where I was going with this, but
you were talking about, you saw demonstration.
Yeah, with Kavanaugh Stricker. Yep. Yes. So in 2 days, she made a rabbit that was 15 feet high.
Oh my gosh.
More. I mean, she made it solid. So she was just beating the clay.
Oh wow.
And that's how she works. She works solid, which was a new thing to think about, because most of the time, you build coils or you build slabs and but she went solid. She goes solid and then she cuts it apart and puts it back together. Cuts it apart, hollows it out and puts it back together.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it was kind of a new way for a lot of sculptors to think. And you do that with when people are making bronzes, they're using a different kind of a clay and then they cast it.
Right.
So,
okay.
So it's a different thing. But anyway, so we watched this woman make this rabbit in 2 days. It was amazing. So that was a big inspiration. So Bunny was on the back of my burner.
Okay.
You know, so it was there.
All right.
And, I wanted to do a rabbit just to kind of, because I thought of her. But I'd already, you know, been doing crows and other things. So.
Did you do it with her technique, making it solid and then?
Yes.
You did. Okay.
Yes.
And your crows are not solid, correct?
I use a press mold for them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But the crows have a different material for the feet. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. It's been a variety of materials. My husband made them at first, and it was copper wire wrapped with telephone wire. And then I dipped them or spray painted them with a rubber latex kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Use on wires.
Okay.
So that was the first, it was an experiment. It worked. They did stand up, but they weren't stable and they weren't strong. Because tend to want to pet them. And so they would push the feet down and then the feet, the toes, and then they'd be off balance.
Oh, okay.
So, I started working with, Robert St. Croix. He has a foundry. And his wife has Gallery Biba. And I didn't really know that. I just went there at the time because it was a long time ago. But I showed him the crows and I said, do you think you could make feet for me? I have a problem with it. He said, yes. So I did the first. I just had to make one out of his clay.
Okay.
And he gave me a bag, this wax, clay, oil-based. Oil-based clay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
So that's how that started. So now when I want feet, I just call up and say, hey, I need 3 sets of feet or give me 8 feet.
Okay.
And I pay.
Because you're using the same mold for the crow and then the same mold for the feet each time.
Each time. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. Yep. Yeah. So you figured it out.
Right. Yeah. And they're sturdy. They're strong. I mean, still they're. People still want to pet them or touch them. So now I use like a museum gel. Whenever I display them, I have this clear gel that I put them on and really they won't move.
Oh,
I usually tell the gallery, please use this underneath the feet because people tend to want to touch them.
So it's adhering it to the pedestal so they can't be picked up?
Right. Well, or just even bumped into the pedestal. They can't be knocked over. But still, you can get them off. You just have to work at it a little bit.
Right, right.
Which is good, which is good.
Right.
It doesn't damage the crow. It doesn't damage the pedestal. It's just a, you know, a gel.
Okay. Yeah. That's designed specifically for that. Yeah, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the gallery. You are, I'm going to call you the gallerist, but what is your title at the gallery at Palm Beach State College?
My title is, it's not curator.
No.
It's a specialist.
Specialist. Gallery specialist. Okay.
Galleries, art gallery specialist.
Okay.
Yes. And that's my title. And that's according to what I make hourly.
Okay.
They won't give me that name. They won't. I can't have that title. I can't have curator or anything like that. But I don't always curate the shows.
Okay. You
know, we have other people curate them. But so that's my title there in the gallery.
Okay. So this is a gallery at one of the branches of Palm Beach State College in Palm Beach Gardens. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. In Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And how many, is it filled with art 12 months out of the year? And how many rotations? How many times do you change the art?
We usually have 6 shows a year. So the show runs, 5 of them run about a month. So we take like a week or 2 before and after, or a little longer if we need it, to set it up.
Okay, and the breakdown, right.
And then the summer show is up for 3 months. Because it's quiet in Florida in the summer.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So we try to find an artist that's willing to let us, or a group that would have their art in the gallery for 3 months.
Okay. And how do you choose these artists? Is there a board of directors for this gallery, or who else is in the decision-making process?
The art faculty.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Most of the time I'm going out and seeing art or talking to artists. I'm always looking to see what's a possibility.
Oh, great.
Or ideas. Yeah. So most of the time I'm out there looking. We do have some shows that are always in place, like the faculty show. That'll be coming up in January. So that's every other year we do a faculty show. We have a student show every year. So that's always in the April, May slot.
Okay.
And then I'm always looking around, or I'm approached a lot about showing there.
Okay.
So then maybe we'll invite someone to curate a show. You know, that may be happening soon. That's been done in the past as well.
Okay. How did you get this job?
As soon as I was graduated from FAU with my BFA, Nazaré and I were very good friends, and she knew that I was going to be looking for a job. I wanted a part-time job, and it was available at the gallery.
Perfect timing. Yeah.
Yeah, good timing. So I, I had to fill out the paperwork at interview.
Right.
Yeah. I took the job, and they could not keep anyone there. They couldn't.
Oh, really?
It was hard because it wasn't, you know, it had to be organized.
Okay.
So it was a learning experience for me, for sure.
Right.
I'd never even hung a show.
Okay.
You know, so I had to learn a lot, you know, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a skill that all artists should have anyway, because sometimes you're asked to hang your own work, especially if it's small, if they're putting things in a coffee shop or a restaurant, you know, they'll want the artist to hang their own things. Yeah.
Right.
How large is the space?
Square footage. I'm sorry, I don't know that right offhand.
Okay.
No.
But, yeah, I'd say it's maybe half a small house or something.
Yeah, it's pretty good size. But it's a box. I think it's, I did send the plans. I can't know how many square feet it is.
Does it have movable walls?
I wish it had movable walls, but it doesn't.
Okay, so you just have the exterior walls of the box space. Do you have pedestals, though?
Lots of pedestals.
Okay, yeah. So you can move those around. Yeah, yeah. Has there ever been anything that's just been a real challenge for you there?
The student show is probably the most difficult show because the professors, faculty collects the art faculty. Only art faculty collects the students' work.
Okay.
For a year out. From after the show, they're collecting the best pieces. I think they get 4 per class. And so they're held in storage. And they're just not the best at labeling their, or framing or having it be, it's mostly we have a lot of work to do. So that is the most challenging show to hang.
Because they're not ready when they come to you. They're not gallery ready. They may not be wired or not wired properly.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's really, we have a couple of guys we've had for the last few years to actually hang the show.
Okay. There,
when I first started working there, we had probably about almost 200 pieces of art, and it was really hard to manage. And then at one point we had 300. That was the highest we ever had, and that was like gallery style. It was floor to ceiling.
Oh, wow.
Art.
Yeah.
And then that's because they were collecting artwork from every student for a year.
Oh, boy.
So they changed that because it was just so – you couldn't – at this point, you'd be looking up or looking, why is my – and the students were like, why is my artwork on the bottom? Why is my artwork on the top? And then they decided to pick 4 from each – it became a big challenge for me.
Yeah.
We had a meeting, and I just said, you have to tone it down, you know, let's do quality, not quantity. You know, you want to include everybody, but, so that's what they do now. They pick, sometimes the students will pick the artwork, class,
nice. Mm-hmm.
or the professor will just say, okay, I want these pieces. So then then I got guys to help me hang it, and that's been going on for some years. So now that we, my assistant, Mirka, she's an amazing assistant. She's always says, Carla, I've got this. You know, she's really got my back for everything. If I forget something, she reminds me, and she's just really awesome. And she's a powerhouse, and we know the formula of how to hang, and so she'll hang the show. I'll be doing the paperwork, and we'll decide where everything goes, and we work so well together. We always start on the back wall and we talk about it. And then she's just really great to work with. So it's just her and I, and we decide how it's going to look. And then she'll hang it, and then I'll start working on labels or some other thing. Unless she needs, if it's a big piece, we need to work together on it.
Right.
So she's a really an amazing person. So
that's great.
I couldn't do it without her, really.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
She's that kind of person. She's strong-willed, strong, you know, she's it's just built into her.
Oh, very nice.
Really awesome girl.
Yeah. Are all the pieces for sale when they're in that gallery?
Not necessarily. It's up to the artist.
Oh, okay.
To have it sale, yeah.
Okay.
And same with the students. The students are probably more likely to not sell it because they're very attached.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay. But you handle the sales if anybody wants to buy anything, right?
Well, technically, it should directly be, I should call it the person, you know, I'm not supposed to sell it myself.
Oh,
so what
okay.
I do is I'll contact the artist or the student and let them know someone's interested in their artwork, and I will give them the contact information. I'll try to make it happen. I'll do my best to make it happen.
I gotcha. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been there?
Since 2000. No, 2000. I don't know. It's been 12 years, something like that.
Okay.
I lost track. I did just get some sort of 10-year anniversary thing, but that was like a couple years ago. I got a plaque.
Yay.
Yeah. They give you little gifts.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. So let's go back to talking about your art. About how many different shows are you doing to display your art throughout the year?
Not that many shows anymore.
No?
More that I'm in galleries.
Galleries, okay.
Yeah, so okay. I have 2 galleries right now that are really great galleries, and the May Gallery and Armand Bowling Gallery. So they've been very supportive.
Okay. All right. I'll put links to those on the show notes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So they've been really great. Also, I don't have any work currently at a DTR Modern Gallery, mm-hmm. but Brian gave me an opportunity with this maybe third version of Crow to start showing there. And I sold do you remember the blue bunny, the electric hare?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I brought it to that gallery and it sold.
Oh, wow.
To a collector in New York who also bought two other crows for me. The purple one and the red one.
Oh, wow. Now, is the electric bunny, is that the one that got an award? Didn't you get an award at Continuum?
No, that was for the moon gazing hare. I got best in show.
Yeah, best in show. Congratulations. That was so cool.
That was great. Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. When you're applying for a show and it's an installation, what are you showing them? Are you taking multiple pictures to show them for an application, or are you really just being asked for shows at this point? I mean, are you still having to apply?
I haven't applied to a show in a while.
Okay.
Probably a year.
Okay.
All right. Kind of done with that phase.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Unless it's something like at Fat Village, they actually contacted me, Leia Brown and Peter Simons. Mm-hmm. Have you been down to Fat Village?
No, I haven't. I need to put that on my list.
You have to go.
That's in Fort Lauderdale?
It's in Fort Lauderdale, yes. And it's a huge, it's called Project Space. So Leia Brown and her husband, Peter Simons, they run that space. And I think it's funded somehow. And Ellie Shore is shown there. I mean, it's all mostly installations.
Okay.
So I had the honor of showing there, but she contacted me directly that, hey, do you have something that you can show? And I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the show. I know I'll think of it, but boom, it's gone.
That's okay.
But anyway, I did show that's where the body and the crows over the top of it first was shown.
Oh, okay.
And then it went to Continuum.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, unless it's, I did talk to Nicole about the play with your food, just that it was just a conversation.
Right.
I didn't fill out an application. I didn't go online and go to the cafe call for entries.
Right.
I haven't done that in a while, but it doesn't mean that I won't do that anymore.
Yeah,
I have a couple galleries that have the work, so I'd rather have them sitting in a gallery.
Okay. Now, I do remember what I wanted to ask you. You've been in Art Basel before?
No, I did have, with Elaine Mordes, I was not Art Basel, but what's the one that comes after that? There's like a pop-up, the tent one.
Art Miami?
Art Miami. I was with her, with my crows. They were there.
Okay.
But mainly I was assisting her with her jewelry and all that other stuff because she was really kind to me. And I've been in a couple of the outside the boxes. I've been in three outside the boxes.
I remember that's where you had your Caracara.
I had my Caracara there and I had the Vulture the year, 2 years before. It's every 2 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then I had the crows hanging from the trees, and that was when they went for the first time. I showed the crows, and I had lots of them. Then they went there for that show. So Belle Cocobassi, she curated it then.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do a Caracara? It's not a common bird.
No, it's not. I wanted to do a big bird that was native to Florida, but
okay.
It's also native to Mexico. In fact, it's the Mexico, the bird of Mexico. So I didn't know that, but just do some research.
Okay.
And I had seen them several times when my husband and I drive across the Everglades, and they're quite magnificent to see them. They're our eagle. They are as the size of an eagle.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, because I remember it was very large and it was on a pedestal, but I think the pedestal, did it look like a tree?
It was actually the trunk of a tree.
It was.
It was a telephone pole trunk.
Oh.
And and that's where I would see them. And when we cut across the Everglades, it would be on the top of the telephone poles. And it just so happens my husband knew someone that cut telephone poles.
Oh, wow.
So he brought a truck full. I mean, he brought me like 5 or 6 that I could choose from, these heavy.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, So he got from a friend of his.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Fun to have connections.
It was heavy.
Yeah.
It was really heavy. But, I wanted to show it in its natural habitat, sort of, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. So to speak. Or now we have telephone poles. Yeah. But, you know, it probably has something to do with that there are no branches. And so, you know, he can see if predators are coming up to him, or that's what they always say about the osprey nests that are in the dead trees. Yeah. So what's next for you? Do you have any other projects coming up, or you're working on a new bird or animal?
I'm working on a cat right now.
Oh.
For Nicole's, Nicole has another show coming up. I'm not quite sure. It's kind of in a space in downtown Macy's, not in Macy's.
Okay.
It's still kind of in the works, but, she was invited to do a show, and she decided to do it based on, a previous show, Paws and Claws.
Okay.
So that was a show that I was in. So, we'll see. That's what the cat's for.
All right. So you're making a
cat. The cat was supposed to be in the sardine show, but I just didn't have time to finish. I just couldn't get it together.
Oh, okay. You know? All right.
Yeah. So it was just too much to do. So, I wanted the cat to be kind of reaching up to the sardines. So she still was on the cat mode. You know, she wanted the cat. And I said, I just can't finish the cat.
Okay.
but the cat's in works right now. The cat is being.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Macy's. I'll just explain what that is. We have a shopping area in downtown West Palm Beach called City Place, and it has what used to be a Macy's, so it's a closed building. And so the Macy's, as well as other closed stores down there, they're doing pop-up galleries and other interesting things. So that's kind of fun that they're utilizing these spaces instead of just leaving them empty. And I like that they're utilizing them for art. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, last night I went to a talk by Philip Estund, and I'm probably saying that wrong, but the guy that did the truck.
The truck. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, he did a talk last night.
That's great. Yeah, the truck is like part of it. It looks like part of it's underground, or part of it has gone in a ditch or something. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that must have been fun. Well, where can we find you? What is the name of your website?
CarlaWalter.com.
Easy peasy. All right.
That's easy.
And do you do any social media sites as well?
Yes, Facebook. Just
okay.
Carla Walter.
All right.
I'm on Instagram too, as Carla Walter Clay.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put links to all of that in the show notes. But it's been lovely talking to you, Carla. I love hearing about your ceramics, and can't wait to see the cat.
Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. I'm excited about everything that's coming up or that's behind me.
Yeah.
Just got to keep going on. So.
Yep, keep going on. And you have the probably a very difficult part-time job at times, but I think every artist is probably envious of it. Every artist must think, how fun that she works at a gallery during the day.
Well, this is what I always say. You know, it's part-time, lots of fun, no money.
Yeah. But you get to meet a lot of interesting artists, I'm sure.
I do, and I really like going out in the community and, you know, talking to artists. And I'm really proud of our gallery. I'm really proud of what's been there and what's to come.
Great, great. Well, well done. All right. Well, thank you very much, Carla.
Thank you very much, Suzanne.
Well, we talked about crows and sardines and rabbits. I bet you didn't know you'd be hearing about all those today. Be sure and visit the show notes on my website so you can see photos of Carla's amazing artwork. Here are some great takeaways from this episode. Number 1. Carla spoke of a couple of her professors when she was at art school. Art instructors can be an ongoing source of mentorship and collaboration. Number 2. You need to find out your why in everything you do. Seek it out until you know that you've truly found it. Number 3. See if your town or county has an art and cultural organization, like the Cultural Council of Pommage County. These organizations may have exhibit opportunities and may provide business courses or training for artists. Number 4. When displaying 3D artwork on pedestals, use museum gel or putty to keep it in place so that it doesn't get damaged. Number 5. Turn to other artists when trying to solve a problem with your own art, as Carla did when she approached an artist who had a foundry about making sturdy feet for her crows. Number 6. One art piece can be displayed at a gallery, but many can be displayed as an art installation in a gallery, like Carla has done with the scenes she creates with her crows or her sardines. Number 7. When showing an installation at a gallery, include everything that is part of your art piece and include detailed descriptions of how it should be arranged and hung. And number 8. Attend art events to meet other artists and find out about exhibit opportunities. Be sure and check out my show notes for this episode on my website at SuzanneRedmond.com. I've got links to Carla's website and many other things that we discussed. We talked a lot about how her pieces are displayed in galleries, and that's inspired me to do a mini business episode talking about hanging your work. Be sure and check that out in my next episode, number 42. Thank you to Carla Walter for telling us about her sardines and crows and how she discovered the why of her art. You can see photos of Carla's artwork at carlawalter.com. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please go on iTunes and leave me a review. And thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I'm Suzanne Redmond. See you next time.